You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello. Hello. Anyone around here speak basketball?
Welcome to the Confederacy of Dunks
Basketball Podcast.
I am your host, Freddie Rivas. And who, sir, in all denim on a hot day are you?
I'm your producer, Matt Duncan. And yes, I just had to do an audition for a 70s bartender. And this is the best I could come up with. So full denim. See what happens.
Yeah, man. Interstate 79, shout out to people who grew up on dial-up computer like me. A weird old reference. Yeah, if you're Gen Z, listen, we got references for you too. I'm so sorry. This is a Raptors / NBA podcast. We're with Raptors Republic. We're hardcore fans, analysts, comedians. Basically, if you're a sports / Raptors nut, you're welcome on the pod and you're in the right place. If people want to help us out, if they want to like make our podcast massive and a chart on iTunes, I guess, how can they do that, Maddie?
Well, if you're watching these segments on YouTube, please like and subscribe. We'd really appreciate that on Raptors Republic. And if you want to hear the full episode, go to the Rapcast on your favorite podcatcher. I don't care if it's Apple, Spotify, Stitcher. We don't discriminate here. And, sure. You know, if you can rate on those things, do it. If not, just sit back, kick it, listen, have a good time.
Wow, Maddie, I like it. You should like unbutton one more of those buttons because that was smooth. A really fun pod today. Incredible guests. I'll say, as I always do, or you mean the last little while anyways, check out the Pickup, a WNBA podcast with me and Catherine. We're always appreciative of support and get into women's basketball. It's amazing. And I will also say free Brittany Griner. If it's something you're not familiar with, just Google it, check it out. It's not a good situation, and anything you can do or say is appreciated. But let's get going here with guest number one. He's done the podcast, I don't know, I think a healthy amount of times.
Oh yeah,
it's been a little while, but he's incredible. You know him from Raptors HQ. That's a Rap podcast. He also talks ball on CP24 when you need a good Raptors take. Give it up as loud as you can, even if you're at home alone, for Jay Rosales. Oh, nice. Let me give that shirt some more camera time. I want to figure out what's going on.
Hey, everyone in this shirt. Thank you, Dana Smart. That's your bench mob, man.
Okay. I was going to say, it looks like I feel like I can
I've
see.
Never seen that one before.
There. Yeah, I've never seen that.
Yeah, we got to do some promo for Dana Smart. Dana Smart's outstanding with her drawings. Great Dane, I believe. Great Dane 92 on Twitter. Anyways, we're not here to promote her. Actually, no, we are.
A little bit. I don't know Dana Smart, but I'm going to get to know her. And also, let me just quickly shout out a friend of friend has started listening to the pod, and I heard some nice compliments through the grapevine. So if your name is Rob and you told Adrian that you think this pod is funny, thanks, dude. I appreciate it. I hope you keep listening. But sick shirt, man. So is that our current bench mob?
Yeah. As I mean, I know we'll talk about the makeup of the team, but mm-hmm. yeah, this we got like I'm trying to look in my camera here. I see Utah.
It looks good.
Svi is on here. Svi is somehow in here, but whatever.
Yeah, you know. Listen,
Banton's here, and yeah. It's,
I recognize Banton right away.
Yeah, he kind of sticks out. Yeah,
he's got a look.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm happy to support the team, man, any way, shape, or form. And again, you said I've been on your healthy amount, and I'm glad to be here. And it's always a good time, and I'm looking forward to this.
Hell yeah, dude. We got a fun pod coming. This next guest, I mean, I've known for well over a decade. Hilarious dude, incredible businessman, just like, you know, one of the coolest, funniest people I know. If you ever check out any Toronto comedy, you know, this guy's has his hands in it. He has an imprint on it. He's honestly like a, I don't say this lightly, but like a living Toronto comedy legend, a living Canadian comedy legend. And he's also a sports nut. So he's perfect for this pod. It's been way too long. Give it up as loud as you can, even if you're at home alone, for Gary Rideout Jr.
Love that music.
Yeah, man. It's
hopping over dragons or whatever's going on there.
Yeah, I think Matt probably found that.
From my sadness, buddy. I told you that. Yeah.
That's good. You know, listen, we're a raps pod, but, you know, we were talking before the pod. If you're a Toronto sports team, you know, we love you. Go Leafs. That's right. So sorry for, you know, the things that have happened to that franchise over the years.
We got, you know, yeah, I want to see this guy come over from Italy for TFC. I'm watching, you know, Roland Garros, watching a little bit of tennis right now. Anything. I'll watch any local sports person. If you're up in Toronto, I'll watch it.
That's, I mean, just a quick diversion here. I've loved soccer my whole life. The loan system and waiting for Insigne is, I don't fully understand it. I went to Orlando, Orlando FC maybe. And we lost in the 90th minute, and like half the crowd was like, we're not good enough. Maybe Insigne won't come. And I'm like, is that part of the deal? Like, you might not come. What's going on? I thought we got this guy.
Yeah. Anyway. We got this guy. He just has to finish his season over there.
Yeah. I love like classic convoluted soccer. Good times. But yeah, let's start talking Raptors ball. Matty, I know you're there. I don't have to do the existential dance. Please, sir, give me your weirdest Raptors sting.
The Toronto Raptors are a good team. You fucking donkey.
Okay, all right. Cheers.
Yeah.
Is that, I don't know, one of the people from Snatch?
Kitchen Nightmares?
Yes, yeah, Gordon Ramsay.
Gordon Ramsay. One of the people from Snatch. Nice. I'm good. Yeah. If you're a Gen Z,
yeah, it was Bricktop.
Sorry, these old bastards.
You call those British people, Freddie? Is that what you were trying to say?
British people, you know, yeah, there's some, listen, I don't even know. 5 minutes Turkish, I was going to say. Is that lock, stock, two smoking barrels? Listen. Those are the main.
It's the guy who's on TV 30% of every day. You know, Kitchen Nightmares is on like every channel. Like,
yeah.
Or like whatever other, you know, chef shows that guy has. Yeah.
Blonde hair, not drive-ins and dines. Drive-ins and dines. Listen, dimes.
Okay, let's hit up a dine.
Yeah, what's it? Okay, listen, I'm messing up my own flow, which isn't really good to begin with. Gary, I'm going to start with you. I think anyone who's a Raptors fan is pretty familiar with, I don't know, nonstop trade rumors that favor other teams more than they do us. You know, this one in particular, Gobert is obviously a superstar. I'm not exactly sure of what the rumor was with Portland, but they're coming for OG now. They came for Pascal. There was some Nick Nurse to the Lakers rumors. Obviously, we remember when Masai was for sure gone as a GM. But, you know, I guess I just want to indulge a little bit. It is the summer. So, yeah, do you think there is any logic to clearing a runway for Scotty? You know, like, I guess like speeding up the process of making this his team? Like, is that something that makes sense to you? Is that shooting ourselves in the foot? Like, well, what do you make of that, you know, idea, I guess?
I think people are quick to, you know, jump to those kind of conclusions. I think what we're trying to do right now, I think they need to do that for another year. Mm-hmm. And then if they see that it doesn't work, or, you know, they want to make changes, then you look at more drastic moves like that. To me, when people are talking about, oh, let's, you know, move out OG and, you know, or OG and Gary for this guy or whatever, I'm like, the last thing we need to do is move out two guys for one guy. Like, our biggest issue is a lack of depth. Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny because you guys were talking about Bench Mob on Jay's shirt, and I was like, what name should we have for them, though? Because right now they're not a Bench Mob, you know what I mean? They're just like, they're a motley crew of guys.
They're guys that make up a bench.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, I think we lack depth. I think moving out, you know, two of our top five or six guys to get one guy doesn't make sense for us as a team. And I think it's possible. I think Scotty's the future, but, you know, I like what we have. I think I just don't see value in a move like that. I think if you're looking, obviously if Messiah and Bobby are playing chess in some way and it's two guys out for one incredible guy and a free agent you're bringing in, so it's really a two for two. Yeah, that's a different story. But like, based on cap management, I don't see, you know, when everyone was talking about, you know, Ayton and all this kind of stuff, it's like, that guy wants a ton of money. We're mm-hmm. going to go way over the cap for a guy like that, that I don't think would have a major impact on, you know, changing the dynamic of our team. I don't see there being a lot of moves out there that make us better than we are as we are. I think you probably try to improve, you know, at the five a little bit and find a better shooter. And that's about it. Like, I don't see a reason to move any of those guys this year. I think considering that concept later makes sense because the cap is what it is, you know?
For sure. No, I mean, I agree 1,000%. And let me just kind of ask you a quick follow-up. Like, I feel like you covered everything, you know, as far as this year, you know, we kind of did better than we expected. Next year, we're still developing. We're still, you know, chemistry, that sort of thing. We don't have, you know, we're not overflowing with assets. And, you know, I think people are trying to game the system too much if they're thinking about OG's mad, he doesn't have enough touches. It's like, you know, to your point, we're not even really there yet. And I think that it's a fun idea to imagine having a perfect runway to a championship where we're like, this team is a full contender, but you just don't get there by making, you know, I've said this a million times, but this is kind of Colangelo logic, and we have Masai. So Masai is about winning. Colangelo's, you know, I guess about making noise. And I think that's just, we're about winning, and that's not really,
you look at
how you do that. But let me just ask you, Gary, there was a guy, you know, obviously not Scotty, is it OG in this concept? That's a year down the line sort of thing. Is it Trent? I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. It could be Trent. It could be Freddie. You know, if this 6'9" thing is where you want to go, and mm-hmm. you know, maybe it's, you know, you're not going to be able to keep everyone at a certain point simply based on the need for extensions. I wish Gary's deal was 3 years and not two and a player option, because I feel like he'll opt out, and maybe that makes him the guy you have to move if you can't resign him. But, you know, our issue, you look at Boston, I mean, mm-hmm. you know, the difference between them and us is, you know, guys 6 through 8, you know, it's not real.
For sure.
I like our starting five. And when we were healthy, we were winning games. I know the regular season is different than the playoffs, but mm-hmm. you know, look at how we played. I mean, the playoffs are, you know, you line up against the right team, it's the right matchup for you. And, you know, you have the right guys and everybody's healthy. Like, you know, Gary was sick. Fred was obviously not healthy. It's like, mm-hmm. I just feel like, I'd be willing to risk keeping, you know, the entire group together. And like I said, trying to find those guys that, I mean, you've seen a few times in Boston, you know, their seventh guy comes off the bench and like, you know, hits like five threes or something. And you're like, totally. You know, or, you know, White or whoever it is that they're bringing into the game. You're like, what's going on? Like, we just never had a guy to do that. And, you know, Norm was a guy like that for us before, to just change the energy of the game. If you were like in a lull, at least he was like driving and cutting and like, you know, I thought having Young was great for sort of that, like, you know, the high pass that we used to see from Marc Gasol, like threading the needle to someone cutting. And he started doing that with Boucher. And it felt like it gave us one other type of offensive play we didn't have before that combo. And it's like, it got really, we were seeing a lot of ISO ball. So like, you know, you just need those other guys to create a more dynamic offense. And we just didn't have it.
I couldn't agree more. And, you know, I think bringing up Boston is a good example. Like, you know, you need the Grant Williams, you need the Pritchards, you need the Whites, you need, you know, whatever, Al Horford. You need the surrounding guys and our core guys, which I think, you know, just going from Masai and Nick of Precious, Scotty, Fred, Gary, OG and Pascal, like those six, I think we're rolling with those guys, you know, and until, you know, like you said, until contracts are kind of force us one way or the other, I think that's what's going down. And we're worrying about 7 to 10.
I could be wrong, but I think
you're right.
No, just about this point I want to make is that I think, you know, like the super team thing is kind of dead for the generation that got used to doing it because they're too old to combat the energy and enthusiasm and youth of the next generation. Now, in a couple of years, a bunch of those young guys might all team up on a team, and now you have the next generation of super team. But right now, we're seeing teams that are built as teams, playing as teams, you know, with different kind of role players on them, all having more success than a bunch of like last generation's guys trying to go get together and beat guys. Because I feel like since the 2019 Raptors, everyone started playing defense hard again, you know,
and, for sure.
And that energy wears down those guys. So I feel like we're in that transitional phase where, like, you know, maybe, yeah, in a couple of years when contracts are up, you're going to see, like, you know, Luka and I don't know, whoever, like all these young guys, like maybe join up and like make some new generation super teams. But like, I feel like right now is a great window to just build a team properly, you know?
Yeah, like again, I totally agree. I think, you know, well, look at the finals, right? MA is playing everyone. Everyone's moving the ball. Obviously, you know, Kerr's nickname is Kumbaya Kerr. He's playing Bielitsa, Wiggins, Poole, Looney. It's like the G State. Even, you know, I think if you follow them, it's like they started with this kind of like holistic, everyone's equal approach, went to the super team, and then now they're kind of going back. So I totally agree. Okay, Jay, what's your take on just, you know, beyond being annoyed by like rumors or whatever, like, do we need to clear, is there any logic to clearing a runway for Scotty? And, you know, if you gun to your head sort of thing, like you had to think about moving one of these six guys or five guys, I guess, because not Scotty, you know, who is it?
Yeah, no, and the point about, and I agree with everything you guys have mentioned, and I am going to bring up Boston and Golden State again, but with OG and the rumors, I think this is the unofficial kickoff to offseason for us. Like, this is what we're going to get used to hearing over the next couple of months leading up to and just after the draft, after the free agency opens on July 1st, is that we're going to hear a lot of these rumors. And the key words in this recent article about OG's discontent is that he's not actually ever really expressed discontent with the franchise, and that the wording around his availability is more so coming from rival front offices as opposed to the Toronto Raptors themselves. So this is the kind of thing you're going to hear a lot of, and we should just get used to it, right? And I guess be prepared to poke holes in some of the things that you see. Now, as it pertains to Scotty Barnes and this runway, I can't help but think about the Golden State Warriors and the way that they're constructed. Think of Draymond Green's role on that team, right? He is an enabler. He enables Curry and Klay and Poole and Wiggins and all of them to do their thing because he's their glue guy. Mm-hmm. That is the role I foresee for Scotty Barnes, and that's the role that he can play. And with the surrounding cast around them, with OG knocking down from three and Pascal doing his thing in the lane and Fred hitting outside shots, that's how these are all going to work. So while there is some sentiment that there is some duplicity here with Scotty and OG and Pascal and Vision 6-9, I don't necessarily think that that means that we got to get rid of one of them. And I guess in this case, it would be OG and free up space for Scotty to do his thing. I think that they can all coexist in a way that'll work, right? And bringing up Boston as an example, they have a couple of times in this specific iteration made it to the conference finals and not gotten over the hump. There have been rumors about Marcus Smart wanting out or being traded. There have been rumors about Jaylen Brown being on the trading block. This is what you've got to endure. And what Boston has endured is, okay, we've gotten past all this. We've gotten past the rumor stage. We are sticking to this core. And now look at what it's gotten them, right? It's gotten them to the NBA finals. And that's where Toronto is right now. You stick with this core of six, build or add some extra pieces here and there, and you're sitting gold, right? And I think that's the biggest thing that we've seen today. And you referenced it already that this was a rebuilding year, but one in which the Raptors overachieved. And why? It's because they finally got to play in Toronto. It's because they finally got to generate some kind of chemistry. And then another year of this, I mean, you've already seen Scotty Barnes' off-season workout videos. I hate those things, but at the same time, I love it when it has to do with the Raptors because then I'm a total hypocrite with it. So you're going to see this team continue to gel. And, you know, I agree with Gary. Like, there's not really a ton that you can really do here. The cap is what it is. Just let this thing ride out, man. This is what it should be.
Yeah, I mean, great points. And obviously the videos from the offseason are always funny because it's like an NBA star shooting over a guy like me. And if people are like, whoa, this is crazy. And it's like, no, he could like, yeah. But I mean, it's still nice to see. And like you said, it's all we have, right? So I think that's kind of what summer basketball talk is. You know, we got to get excited about the draft and then summer league and then preseason. It's all kind of like a build up to the real thing. Even the regular season versus the playoffs is, you know, obviously a substantial difference. But, you know, I want to touch on your kind of like duplicity point. And I think that's a great example of why, you know, I wanted to bring this question up is because there's always this idea that redundancy or duplicity or whatever, or the same qualities in a team is inherently bad, as opposed to being like a stylistic advantage, which is just silly to me. I mean, and I can't help but think, you know, I feel like I've said some version of this before, but as Toronto fans, we should really be familiar with this idea of giving a young guy too much responsibility too quick, you know, with Vince, with Bosch. And, you know, I don't want Barnes to have too much on his shoulders right away. I don't want him to, you know, want to go to Miami or LA when he's up for, you know, like when he can take off. Like I want him to be, you know, kind of like in a Kawhi style situation where he's mentored by great players and is able to integrate himself, you know, to the point where if he gets injured, let's make sure we believe him so he doesn't get discontent like Kawhi. But you know what I mean? Like, I think that's kind of what I hope for. I feel like we're the type of franchise to do it. I think that's what Masai is going for. And agreed on all accounts. I think we're all on the same page. And you know, this is Raptors news, right? I had to bring it up. But Maddie, I want you to come in here because, again, this is the summer, so we're kind of just getting silly. And Jay, I'm going to stick with you. Let's have you answer this first. But if you're, you know, theoretically put in charge of a full Raptors rebrand, like what's our team name and what are our colors? Like what's the new vibe for the franchise, which, you know, doesn't need whatever. We don't need to do it, but we're going to do it. So what is it?
Oh, it's quite unfortunate that you're starting with me. Actually, no, it's a good thing you're starting with me because I have the most ridiculous idea. And first of all, the color should stay the same, right? Let's stick with the black and gold. They look very nice. But for the name, what's the most common phrase you've heard about the Raptors since we won the championship? Never underestimate the heart of a champion, right? What's the acronym for that? NUTHAC. That's right. I'm calling us the Toronto Nuthacks. And I think that it's a name that rolls off the tongue. You can have a lot of nut related jokes in there.
Sure, sure. Yeah, yeah.
We stick with the black and gold, like, or maybe some sort of brownish color for the nuts. But yeah, let's go with the Nut Hacks.
The Nut Hacks, yeah, man.
Is your new NBA champions of 2024.
Sick. Yeah, we got, like, you know, whatever mascots, like I guess a nutcracker or something. Like,
the possibilities are endless.
Yeah, they actually are. I can't think of anything, but yeah, the Nut Hacks is great. I wasn't sure. I'm glad you pulled that back into an acronym, because I'm like, that's a long name, man. Okay, Gary, what's up? What's your rebrand? What's our, like, you know, team colors, whatever?
Yeah, I'm thinking we go with, like, you know, parking cone orange, and we're called... We're just called the Toronto Road Construction. There's just, like, it's the outline is just like an Italian guy just holding a stop sign.
Sure.
Logo. You can't go down that road right now. You know, or like the Toronto condos, I thought maybe, you know, just like.
That's good.
It's still that cool skyline, but it's just, you know, mostly focused on the fact that everyone's spending $500,000 to live in a closet, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
That kind of thing.
No, that gets people jacked.
Yeah. Yeah.
I also love pine cone orange. Pine cone.
Yeah, parking cone orange for sure. You know, just like,
as a start. Yeah.
Yeah. Just like it's just, you can't, you know, I mean, we spent 2 years indoors and now you go sit in your car and you're like, oh, everybody's back and you can't get anywhere.
I know. You know? Yeah. Yeah. Try driving anywhere east, west in the city and you're like, cool, cool, cool. I'm in LA, but the summer's only 2 months. Okay, Maddie, what's up? What's your rebrand? What's your team colors? Where are you coming with this? I mean, you're rocking all denim. Is that like a is that a part of what's going down?
No, not at all. I was
okay. Try to set you up.
Volley spike.
Yeah, volley spike for sure.
That's how I like to improvise. No, what I was thinking of doing was going back to the old days of Toronto and when the city was referred to as Hogtown.
Okay,
and
right.
We'll, you know, go back and we'll call it the Hogtown Squealers. And, you
sure,
know,
that's not weird.
That's not weird at all. The one thing that I would like to have is that.
Okay.
Yeah. Like the mascot, his name is Mayor Pig. And
sure.
Depending on who the mayor of Toronto is at the time, we kind of get, like, the head of it is like King Cake Baby. So it's like a big ceramic weird thing. You know, of John Tory right now, and he's got a little pig nose, whatever. We don't have to do the pig nose. We'll talk about it. But yeah, it'll always be an ode to the mayor. Pig will always be whoever's mayor in the office. And yeah, you know, there's going to be a lot of squealing. Fans are going to be squealing now, you know, especially when free throws from the other team are going, there's going to be like a lot of pig squealing and stuff.
Yeah. A lot of pig squealing. That's good.
Just really want to bring pigs back into Toronto. I don't know. If,
sure.
You know, they built this city pigs. So I just want to give,
for,
you know,
sure.
Give their due.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the drinks are deliverance to your seat. I get it. Okay.
Yeah. You know, we got, what's the sandwich? Like our type of bacon. I'm blanking out right now.
Female
bacon, you know?
Back, like, bacon.
Back bacon. That's our sandwich. You got, you know, back in the day, like at Liberty Village used to smell like, I don't know, pigs being slaughtered.
There's maybe a, like, slaughterhouse down there. Yeah.
We could waft that in.
Yeah.
So I went the direction of, like, if we're rebranding, we just got to pick like a new movie that's out and basically just try and rip that off as hard as we can.
There already is the Dallas Mavericks, so don't go there.
Yeah. Okay. Shit. Okay. Yeah. Can't do that. Okay. I was sort of thinking, like, I haven't even seen it, which is crazy because I love the originals, but I was going the way of Matrix Resurrections.
Okay.
And, you know, I feel like Keanu's got, like, a, you know, there's a Toronto connection there. Like, he could just basically, you can name all the sections, like that crazy video where he's just like throwing out Toronto references. You know, we used to have a Sprite Zone, so maybe it's like, okay, Gladstone Library, Max Milk, you know what I mean? Like, You just have,
wait, like, are you saying the Toronto Matrix or the Toronto Resurrections?
I think I'm saying the Toronto Matrix. Like, let's just try to see if we can catch the whole franchise.
Wow.
A ones and zeros jersey?
Yeah. Oh my God. That's way cooler than I was just going to say trench coats, but yours is way better. Ones and zeros. Yeah. Okay. I didn't even go down the like understanding the Matrix part of it. But trench coats, it sucks compared to ones and zeros. And the other one was just like straight up the Toronto Spider-Mans. I think it would be fun to be the only team where like everyone's in a mask. That's it for that.
They're all dressed like Spider-Man.
They're all dressed like Spider-Man.
They're all doing the point at each other.
Exactly. It's the Vision 6-9 thing. Yeah. Like sure they have numbers like for the refs, but for everyone else, it's sort of just like super confusing.
Yeah, we don't care.
We don't care. Are they safe? Honestly, who knows? okay. I think this is good. This is what I wanted out of this.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Maddie, good sir, if you would, please give us some. I mean, you found a website. That's what we know so far. That's where these stings are coming from. So please give us your weirdest NBA sting.
I'll be back right after I hear some stuff about the National Basketball Association.
Okay. Wow. Arnold whispering. That's what that was.
Was that felt like a bunch of clips mashed together? Like, I don't think he said those things.
No, I think like Matt has found some kind of like one celebrity one word at a time website. That's all I can think. It's like you take one word at a time. The levels are just going all over the place.
Yeah, just an Arnie speak and spell. Yeah.
That's what it is. Speak and spell. I'm gonna Google that after. I bet you Matt, that's Maddie D, my Maddie D, our Maddie D, found a speak and spell website. cheers to you, Maddie D. Thank you very much. Okay, let's go with you, Gary. I think there's like, you know, it's natural in sports to have a lot of conjecture and sort of like replay the moment. I'll say right off the bat, I feel like I was pretty comfortable with the Jimmy shot. You know, people are going to say, you know, he's not good with the three, that it was a sort of a foregone conclusion that he could score on Al Horford because Al Horford was backpedaling, which, you know, I guess I sort of see, but not fully. You know, there's time on the clock, I guess, but he was rolling. He was absolutely rolling. And I think, you know, Jimmy kind of went with it, missed the shot, would have been a legendary make. I think Boston obviously still would have had time to win the game, but whatever. He took the shot, he missed it, and Celtics are going to the finals. It was an epic comeback that, you know, didn't quite happen. So, you know, first just kind of give me your take on that, then tell me, you know, give me another moment in this playoffs that, like, sort of like a what-if moment.
I didn't like the shot. I mean, if it goes in, obviously it's amazing.
Yeah. It was a hero move or attempt.
Yeah. But I feel like, you know, I feel like he could have blown by there and laid that in pretty easily. And then, you know, I mean, it's so funny because you see the internet immediately show clips of the Raptors series where they tie and then, you know, we come back and score and you're like, well, did that play into his head that he's like, no, I want to be up one? Because, you know, up one or tied, you know, either way, they're getting the ball back and anything they put in wins the game. You know what I mean? Unless they foul and go 1-2. Otherwise,
that's a key point, by the way, I think. Sorry.
Yeah, they're still getting possession with time left. And you know what I mean? To me, the math dictates that you go for the layup there. But whatever.
That's fair. Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's a great player. He was playing out of his mind both games and he wasn't getting much from anybody else. You know, I think Kyle was obviously hurt. I felt bad about how he played. But Yeah. And the other big moment I would say is, you know, for me was, you know, imagine Scottie didn't get his foot stepped on. Imagine the Raptors were healthy. You know, I mm-hmm. wish we just had a straight up healthy series. Fred was feeling better. Gary was feeling better. I just wanted to see, you know, the best version of our team from the regular season in that series straight up, because I think, you know, we could have taken that series.
Yeah, I do think that, you know, especially with the way we won those, you know, what was it, games 4 and 5, there was like this sort of kind of momentum going our way, and you saw Philly start to shake.
I was at game 3, and we never should have lost that game. It was crazy.
I was also at that game. I was shocked that we lost like that. You know, that Embiid 3 was insane.
You want to talk about a big moment that you could have like done anything differently for, mm-hmm. you know, like
not put Fred on him.
Yeah. Like I just make it harder to even inbound at all. Like it got talked about at the time, so we don't need to relive it, mm-hmm. but I felt like, yeah, I just feel like I would have liked to have the healthy version of our team to know what we really have, because I think we underrepresented ourselves a little bit in the playoffs.
I think so, yeah. And, you know, that goes back to, like, the beginning of the pod and sort of having this core of guys that we really like that are, you know, they're just not, the depth isn't quite there. And I think that sort of was difficult in the regular season in a bunch of ways, you know, missing Pascal. So Fred had to overcompensate. And then, you know, it almost seems like Fred and Pascal in some ways were like ships passing in the night. Like they had their best parts of the season, like not at the same time. But yeah, Jay, what's your take on the Jimmy shot, and what's your what if?
Well, I got to change my what if, because I was going to talk about what you guys don't want to talk about, which is the Embiid shot. So I'll just stall by talking about the Jimmy shot.
Talk about it.
With the Jimmy shot, I was totally on board with it. I thought that it was the right choice. The problem with the Heat during that game throughout, actually, especially in the fourth quarter, up until those final 2 minutes, was the half-court offense. It was totally stalled by Boston's excellent defense. It was the case for most of the game. So I see the thinking there with Jimmy in terms of like, well, he had hit a pull-up three earlier in the game. Mind you, that's not after he's had 47 minutes worth of work on his legs, but it's they seem to be getting more done when it wasn't in a half court offense. So again, I see the thinking behind it. And I guess hand in hand with his legs probably being tired is that maybe he felt like he couldn't get in and around and over Al Horford. But then again, why would you take a shot then, right? Then your leg's not in that one. Regardless, I'm of the camp that I think that it was the right shot and the right choice to make given their half court offense and their struggles. In terms of a what if, yeah, I am going to go back to that Embiid shot over the Raptors. And I think that If I would have changed anything, it would have been everything that Fred VanVleet was on that. First, it was covering the inbounder. So that's definitely not a Taco Fall situation. And then having him go to under the basket, which, again, a Taco Fall would be more interesting, not the shortest guy in the entire roster. So the way in which he was utilized was utter confusion. And obviously it ultimately led to the demise of their season. Like the Raptors win that game. And again, you don't know what's going to happen after that, but I would thoroughly believe that they'd be up 3-2 in the series instead of down 3-2 in a pivotal game 6. But who knows, right? I mean, mm-hmm. That's kind of where my mind goes on a what if. It obviously has to stick with the Raptors because I'm of the mind that, you know, matchups matter, and the Raptors probably could have won a first round matchup against several other first round opponents if it weren't for the Sixers.
Yeah. And I just want to say on that point too, is like, I don't think anybody in the East really dominated, you know, like the way I thought Miami was going to dominate Boston, and, you know, they didn't. So, you know, I mean, I saw the tweet about Boston being also like, you know, the worst team in the league at like December 30th mm-hmm. or something. And then like, you know, they were like out of the playoffs more than halfway. Like halfway yeah. through, this is crazy. So, you know, I guess they were dominant in the back half, but like these teams that we like, Milwaukee didn't look amazing. Miami didn't look, you know, amazing. They both have more depth than we do right now, but you know, we know how Nick coaches. He's going to rely on those guys pretty heavily. I just would have liked to see a little bit more of them. I wasn't expecting much past the first round, but I thought we could have won that first round series.
I think so too. And my moment was actually, I'm sort of like trapped between two injuries. One is, you know, what if the, you know, Embiid celebration slash Pascal elbow doesn't happen in such quick succession and a healthy Embiid or healthy-ish Embiid gets to start the Miami Philly series. You know, that's sort of a what if. I think based on what I've seen from Miami, I probably still pick Miami there. But the other one is, you know, Middleton gets injured in the Bulls series and the Boston Bucks series goes to seven. And Middleton, you know, I think is pretty clearly their second best player. Maybe some people would argue it's Drew. But, you know, Middleton is like they're also the kind of their closer, their shot maker. That's what he was the whole championship run. But, you know, I think to Gary's point as well, that, you know, there hasn't been a super dominant team in the East. Like these series have all kind of went long. And so I think those little margins have really mattered. But so I think those injuries are probably my what ifs. But also people get injured in the playoffs. So that's kind of not a specific moment per se, because Boston, Miami, those teams are banged up as well. Right. So OK, let's stick with you, Gary, just for this this last one here. But, you know, you're kind of alluding to it. So I assume Boston, but Boston, Golden State finals, like do these teams being in the finals surprise you? And what's your prediction?
Yeah, I guess it's not. I mean, I thought Miami was going to be there, or like I probably would have put the Bucks or Miami ahead of Boston in terms mm-hmm. of coming out of the East.
Yeah, me too.
And, you know, I'm not entirely surprised by Golden State. You know, their path was, you know, they had a pretty, you know, it played into their favor a little bit, their path to get there. I guess I want Golden State to win.
Everyone's just like, I guess I hate Boston still, you know? Like,
yeah. And also they feel more like, you know, in terms of team construction and building the team internally and all that kind of, that's the stuff we're doing. And they're maybe mm-hmm. just like a year or two ahead of us in terms of that. And so I'm glad to see that that can work, but also fuck those guys. So
yeah, right.
No, it's like say that.
You can, no, you can't.
Break
you
can't. Out, right? But you know, yeah. So like, you know, at least Golden State winning, it's like, yeah, man. There, you know, there's Hall of Famers on that team, and you know, I'm hoping they can shoot the lights out. But I don't know. Like Boston's, both teams actually had great defense this year, so I think they're the top two defenses. So. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. I'm going to pick Golden State, but I, you know, who knows?
Yeah, I'm with you. Like exactly. I think, you know, Boston, obviously I rag on them like all the time, but you know, credit where it's due. I'm happy for Al Horford. The team's fairly, you know, it's a group of pretty likable guys. It's a likable brand of basketball. And Golden State, like, I'm not sure if you were alluding to this, but I think Phoenix going down the way they did sort of altered the chemistry. Like I remember, you know, when it was Dallas, Golden State, sort of hearing people being like, oh, who's going to win that? And I'm like, I don't know, like Golden State in five, like six, maybe if something goes bad, but like that's, it's not the same. Like I know Phoenix had that incredible Goliath record, but yeah, after, you know, Phoenix and Memphis went down, I was kind of like, there's no one really left in the playoffs that I think can contend with Golden State. And they've done that perfect dance of sort of keeping everyone healthy enough. Klay keeps getting better. They have the emergence of, you know, role players and a guy like Wiggins is like at his best. And I joked on Twitter, Golden State in three, but I do think that, I mean, I might even call a sweep here, and maybe that's just because I have to root against Boston and I'm just so insanely biased, but I really do think that, you know, yeah, I mean, they're incredible defenses and we'll see. Like, I could be wrong here and maybe it's a tight series, but I will be shocked if Golden State loses this.
Yeah, we've seen when Golden State shooting is a little bit cold, and that can happen, like, but not for a whole series, I don't think. So,
no, and I think Golden State, they have counters too, right? Like, well, you know, I was talking about this on recently, like maybe it was last episode or the one before, but they're not just shooting the three. Like, they can hit the two, and they just have a really comprehensive kind of like system going down. And yeah, they can light you up from three, but they can also just like kind of like slow the game. They can just do so many things. But again, I've really been down on Boston nonstop. So maybe this is just a situation where I can't see straight. But Jay, what's your take on this? Do you think, are you either team surprise you? Who do you think is going to win the series?
I'm going to shout out my own pod here. All three of us on the pod all predicted Boston to make the finals.
Nice.
So we all saw a lot of faith. We had a faith, I guess, in their defense, and it's kind of shown up at very important times. So Boston making the finals. I had Boston over Phoenix, so obviously I was off there. I think that so. Boston is actually not the surprise for me. I didn't even have Golden State making it to the conference finals.
Wow.
So I guess Golden State, by that metric, is my surprise team. Having said that, I think that where I agree with you guys in terms of like Golden State has this incredible firepower. But for me, defense wins championships. And I'm going to stick to my prediction before the playoffs that Boston's number one defense will win out. I know that.
Wow.
I've lost a bit of faith in my everything. My original pick was like Boston in six over Phoenix, but I think I'm going to go seven here only because it's like, man, they almost choked it against Miami, mm-hmm. right? They really almost did, like losing game six at home and almost choking away game seven. It gives me a bit of hesitation here to continue sticking with Boston as the winner. So I will very hesitantly say I'll stick to Boston winning, but I will say this. I'm totally rooting for Golden State. I love what they've got going. It also helps the Raptors in an inadvertent way as like the only team the team that stopped them from the three-peat. And, mm-hmm. you know, when they're fully healthy, like only the Raptors can beat them. Like that's everything about Golden State winning helps the Raptors' agenda is what I'm trying to get at. So give me Golden State to win as who I'm rooting for. But in terms of, statistically, if I had to, you know, put money on it, I'd put on the Celtics.
I love it. This is good podcasting. Gary, I feel like you got something.
Well, it was so funny because it makes me want to go back to the question about like another big thing that happened in the playoffs, you know, or like a big moment that had an impact. And I'm like, I want to go all the way back to the bubble and be like, yo, I wish we beat Boston that series.
I know.
Think we would have been a different team. You know what I mean?
Yes. Like matchups matter, man. Again, I look at your hat and I say, if the Leafs faced any other team, they're in the Stanley Cup finals facing the Tampa Bay Lightning. And that's your Stanley Cup finals, right? I think about the Raptors, right? You face any team other than the Celtics, you're possibly a finals team, right? So yeah. It is what it is. And mm-hmm. Norm made the exact same move on that breakaway and Marcus Smart blocked him, but I'm not bitter. Who's bitter? Who's still dwelling on this?
Yeah, who's bitter? Yeah. Very specific reference, but who cares, you know? Kyle foul trouble in the bubble. Who cares, right? Who remembers, yeah. right? No worries. Yeah.
No one's keeping check.
Yeah, it's all good. It's all good. I wish Nurse played Rondae Hollis, Jefferson, and Boucher. You know, no worries. Yeah.
We're not dwelling on this.
Yeah, no, I kid. He rightfully so did not play our Rondae Hollis Jefferson. But guys, that's the pod. Thank you both so much. Appreciate you guys. This was a fun one. Let me go to you first, Jay. Raptors HQ. That's a wrap pod. What's up? What do you want to promote?
I guess right now we're in the phase in Raptors HQ of doing the season reviews still. We got player reviews going, and I'm working on one for Precious Achiuwa. I've been sitting on it for weeks, unfortunately. Sorry, Josh. But yeah, it's going up at some point in the next couple of days, so look out for that. And yeah, we podcast. That's Wrap Pod every Friday. Usually comes out Friday afternoon, Saturday morning-ish. So look out for that. Otherwise, that's it then. Thanks for having me on again.
Dude, always thanks a good for time. Being on, man. Yeah, appreciate it. Gary, what's up? I mean, you always got a lot going on. Hit us up. Tell us where we need to be.
We have Chris Redd from Saturday Night Live at Comedy Bar Bloor all weekend this weekend. So you can check that out. from I think he's there Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I think prepping for a special, so you're gonna see all new material for that. We're running Second City shows at Comedy Bar on the Danforth. Until we get their theater built, they're hanging with us, so you can check shows out there as well. So it's all at comedybar.ca. That's it.
Hell yeah, comedybar.ca. You're both legends, and thank you guys for doing the pod. And yeah, let me just shout out everyone who's been supporting and listening and liking and subscribing and everything. We're really appreciative and digging this bigger platform on Raptors Republic. So thank you very much. And Maddie, if you feel like we're done, we're good to go, please just give me those words. I love so much. Okay.
Okay. Listen to the Confederacy of Dunks exclusively on the Rapcast.